Good morning. Thank you for listening to the Shula Bowl podcast brought to you guys by Five Reasons Sports. For our returning listeners, welcome back. For those of you who are new, wondering what the hell took you so long, but hey, we're glad you're here. So you know who's here. I am Eric Henry, the FIU beat writer for SB Nation. On the horn, we got Jake Elman from the Palm Beach Post, Shane Marinelli, our FAU recruiting guy from the FU Owl's Nest and everything else FAU, super fan David Hondell, and we got Andre on the line as well.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, we don't have Andre on the line, but if you're listening on a future episode, you will get Andre. This is going to be kind of, you know, clunky by design because FIU's run defense was pretty much clunky and just a cluster, I think is a better way to describe it. That kind of summarizes what the day was yesterday for FIU fans. If you were in Nashville, Tennessee, there were some FIU fans and FIU parents who made the trip to Nashville as well. If you watch on NFL Network, for a national audience, seeing FIU for the first time wasn't exactly the best showing. A 50-17 loss, a game that saw FIU give up its second most ever rushing yards allowed, 471 to be exact. You know, just a game that was 17-14 at the half, a game that FIU, quite frankly, was winnable despite their mistakes. I mean, Butch Davis talked about it post-game that, you know, the score kind of covered up for the fact that they had a couple of first-half turnovers. But whatever happened in the second half was just atrocious, specifically the third quarter. For those of you who didn't happen to catch this game or didn't happen to know, you know, the weather circumstances, it was a torrential downpour. And that just kind of summarizes, you know, FIU season in a sense that, you know, it's hot one second, it's cold the next. It looked like, you know, the sun was going to come out shining. It looked like everything was, you know, kind of coming and going and turning into play and turning to FIU's favor. And then it just, skies just opened up all over the field and opened up all over FIU's run defense. So I guess this is kind of my time here to take it away. Anyone who's listened to this podcast knows that I've been the optimist for FIU. You know, I've tried to put a glass half full kind of spin on things. But Butch Davis said it. You know, there's only so long you can kind of put out those fires, and if you don't do an adequate job of putting them out, it's just going to blow up on you. This isn't just a one-game blip for FIU. This has been not only a season-long trend, but the past year and a half covering this football team, the run defense has been atrocious. In the three-game win streak, it's something I noted in my game stories. The three-game win streak came against teams with a combined record of 4-16. Shane's talked about it on the podcast, how much of that three-game win streak was smoke and mirrors. FIU made a fool out of me because I wanted to say that, hey, they're turning the corner and really getting some things done, and the run defense did play well, but not against a team that had adequate talent, if not, you know, I don't think anyone's going to confuse Middle Tennessee State for a team that's, you know, more talented than FIU, but they're at least on the same level as FIU, opposed to teams who they won in that three-game win streak, and it showed. You know, Asher O'Hara, you know, over 150 yards. Terrell West, 130 yards. The third-string running back, 171 yards. David, you know, it just got ugly as you went into the fourth quarter. I mean, the third quarter overall, the FIU was outgained by 150 yards, negative 4 yards on the ground, negative 8 yards total in that third quarter, and everything just went to crap. Here's my overall takeaway, man. If you're an FIU fan, you just got to look at yourself and wonder, what are we? And I think the team has to do that as well. I went down to the field, you know, for the last 8 minutes of the game. There was a lot of cussing coming from the FIU sideline, a lot of frustration. You know, Bryn Renner and Drew Davis, they had to take, you know, a moment after the postgame to just step out of the locker room and just kind of walk back onto the field and get some fresh air. But once again, it's the same crap that's been going on over and over. And I'm not going to come down hard on the kids because they're out there fighting. But the coaches know it. You know, Butch Davis knows it. You can't have guys, you know, just missing tackles, over-pursuing, and giving up 500 yards of rushing in a game is atrocious. That just can't happen. It's happened 3 times in the last 18 months. They've given almost 1,000 yards, half a 1,000 yards of rushing yards. So, David, take it away before I jump back in. You can have at it.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of summed it up in the worst way possible. I mean, it was bad. I mean, we got outscored 36-0 in the second half. I mean, like, what? Are you kidding me? It's frustrating, you know. And I get it. It was a torrential downpour. But at the same time, you know, both teams are dealing with it. And the fact that they were able to, you know, hold on to the ball. There were no botched snaps. And we botched a punt and gave them great field position early on in the second half. Everything that could have gone wrong seemed to go wrong for us and only for us. And it's just, oh, my God, the run defense, and something that we've been talking about all year, and it was just bad overall, an overall bad game. And it's not, now we're in a position that, you know, the conference is out of the question, but now we're fighting for a bowl spot. Now it's just, we're in a harder position because ODU, we play next week, should be a win, but the last three games is a gauntlet. And that game yesterday that was the game that I wanted to see this team prove something. You know, as you said, you're giving your story, that the last three games we played aren't against, you know, big teams with a lot of losses combined. And this was a game that I wanted to see something, and I just didn't see it. So it's a bit frustrating. If my audio is a bit bad, it's because I'm actually in Pennsylvania right now. So I was watching that game at a sports bar in Penn State. And so I'm trying to explain to these people who FIU is. And, you know, in the first half, we're up 17-14. And I'm like, yeah, I'm getting too excited. And then this blowout happens. And I'm just sitting there lonely in this Penn State bar. It was a bad day all around for me. But rough. Just rough. Rough's the only word I can say.
The thing that stands out to me is, and Eric, you mentioned this, this was an NFL Network game. So this, for I'm sure a lot of people, was their first introduction to the new FIU, to what Butch Davis has been building. And I kind of almost equate it in a weird way to FAU Oklahoma last year, where we knew what Lane Kiffin was building. We knew how good Devin Singletary was. We knew how good Aziz Alshire was. But then the people watching for the first time, you see this blowout and you see how bad they play for FAU was in the first half, for FIU was in the second half. And it's like, really? This is the team that we were told is good and was building something? We've obviously been paying attention, so we know that it's been the continuation of the run defense's issues, of the offense struggling to get it going for a full game. But I just feel bad for Butch Davis and the players, because now, you know, you have been building something, but I think that for so many people, their introduction to this FIU, not the T.Y. Hilton FIU, not the FIU that was bad for so many years, why would they care about FIU? Why would they care about Conference USA football?
Yeah, I mean, I 100% agree, Jake, and you're kind of hitting on the head that sometimes when these programs kind of get a chance to just prove something or take the next step, it hasn't always worked out for them. I think my question's a little bit more 10,000-foot view for FIU fans, and I know FIU fans and on Twitter and stuff, I give them a really hard time, and for those of you that think I'm rooting against FIU, we weren't. I believe I texted someone before this game that I would like the Shula Bowl to mean something this year. I think for the long-term growth of these programs, both programs doing well would be good. But, you know, we talked about it a little bit after FAU lost to UCF, that there was that first feeling of kind of the honeymoon period war with Lane. It was like, okay, now it's time to start judging him as like a real coach. I feel that has to be kind of a Butch Davis at this point. As Eric said, this run defense issue has been, I mean, what are we at, an 18-game issue at this point? And
yes.
I know I joke, you know, with you guys in the chat and stuff, but there has to be an element of, man, when in the last year and a half, whenever FIU's played anybody that's offered a little bit of talent, truth equal talent resistance, they haven't come away with a win. I mean, outside of the bowl game, you know, we had these, and I hate going back to this, discussions on Twitter. I mean, your victory versus Middle Tennessee last year was essentially because Stock still got hurt. We all know what happened against FAU last year. You didn't do it against Marshall, okay? Western Kentucky, you had a chance to get them early in the year, all right? We know they're a better football team than everyone thought at the beginning of the year, but still, that's your chance. This, I know Middle Tennessee's record isn't that great, but they've played, you know, three P5 teams and at FAU. So, and they're always going to, Middle Tennessee is always going to be a thorn in everyone's side. And you go up there and lose like this. It's like, it's at a certain point to be like, you know, Butch, yeah, you're great. You're great for FIU, but you're not going to build a program stacking wins off Rice, UTEP, and UMass.
David, I'm going to answer this, and I also want to leave you some room as well to opine. Here's the thing, guys. When I talk about coaching, right, and Shane, you make a lot of good points. You're kind of bringing listeners in to some of the discussions we have on Twitter and in the group chat in terms of coaching and, you know, kind of need to step up and to, you know, beat relevant teams. All great points, right? One that I am not in a position to even really debate right now, whether I want to defend this coaching staff or not. Here's the reason why I'm never just the person to say, hey, fire coaches, or it's got to be looking at the coaches, right?
Bush, well, David, no one's saying that. No,
you're not. Let's make that clear. You're not saying to fire coaches. I'm using that as a broader analogy, so we'll make that on the record. But part of the reason why I'm never the one to take that stance is because Butch Davis is 67 years old. Is he going to run out there and make tackles? He's going to run out there and fill the gap and take the proper pursuit? Now, here is where you do have to. It's kind of like, you know, when FIU fans want to criticize Pete Garcia and say, you know, he's not doing his job. Is Pete Garcia supposed to stand out in the middle of the turnpike and wave fans down to the stadium? You know, there's only so much accountability coaches can have. Here's where there is a disconnect. And you made the point, right? The run defense, this is not a thing. This isn't a blip. It's a trend. It's why I mentioned it. This is the third time that we've given up over, you know, 300 into 400 rushing yards. Here's where you have an issue, right? There is some disconnect between the things that the coaches are telling me in practice, which is fundamentals, technique, gap control, you know, not over pursuing, and it actually happening on the field, right? And there's some disconnect, whether that is the coaching style, whether that is actually implementing in the game plan, whether that's the players actually executing. There is some disconnect that can't be ignored, right? We tried to ignore it last season and say, hey, you know, let's ignore it because the team won 9 games. We tried to ignore it when the FAU lost, that was a blip. We tried to ignore it, you know, against Tulane, say Tulane's a really good team. You can't ignore it when it happens to a 2-5 Middle Tennessee State team, that both teams have to fight the elements. You know, it wasn't just one team at the fight elements, it was both teams. So I do agree with Shane in the sense that you do have to look at the coaching staff and say, hey, where's the disconnect? And that's what I want to look at. Not necessarily, you know, can you win the big game or can you beat a team that's comparable? It's where's the disconnect in coaching? Why is the same issue occurring? And David, I said I want to leave some room to jump in.
Yeah, I mean, Eric, you're so good because you take the words out of my mouth, all right? Everything that you just said is absolutely correct. That's exactly what I think too. And so what you're saying about, well, Shane's not saying to fire coaches, but there are people, and we've had this conversation in a past episode of people saying fire Butch. And I saw it again last night, and it's ridiculous. Yes, yes, there's some accountability, but at the end of the day, you said it right. He can't go out there and make these tackles. He can't go out there and hit the gaps. Like it's at that point, it's on the players to, you know, like
hit their assignments and
do their job.
David, oh, can me, go a little bit here. Yeah. No coach in the history of college football that's lost its job has been the guy to go out there and needed to fill the gaps and stuff like that. I mean, their job isn't judged in that way. If you kind of understand what I'm saying. Yeah, it just put it all on the players. Okay, it's the players.
No, Shane, sorry. I got to jump in because I understand what you're saying. You're saying that all the coaches who lose jobs, they're not out there to go make plays. I hear you. I'm going to make this quick. But where you have to look at, say, there's some disconnect is there's a difference between consistently losing by 3 points, consistently losing by 7 points, consistently not showing up in crucial moments when you have a big-time game, and giving up 471 rushing yards. That's not like, that's not, hey, you know, a coach who can't come through the big one. You know, there's a coach who I don't want to name in the American Conference who has a reputation as being a choker. You know, he's known as a guy who, when the going gets tight, you know, he's going to choke. That's a reputation he has with media. I'm not going to name him, but it's not that situation. When you give up that kind of yardage, it's not that, Shane.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just falling that flat on the road, and yeah, sometimes a football game just gets away from you, but we're kind of going in circles here, but it's just a question of almost how long? Because, you know, I was just going around. I was on the FIU message board this morning, and I know this isn't the best place for Brommer fans tend to be, you know, either the program's falling apart or, you know, we're the next Bama week to week. Trust me, I think you just went with this after losing to a good Marshall team by 5 points. You know, it was question the program time. But it's just like you keep having these games. I'm just saying that, and I don't know how many games we're into each of the, you know, Lane kind of Butch tenure, but man, how much more of these does he have? I mean, what happens in a couple weeks if FAU goes out there and Lane beats him like he has the last 2 years? You know, eventually these games just wear on people.
I mean, Shane, I do agree with what you're saying, and I think that there is a point that, you know, you do have to win a big game, and I just don't know if I can put it fully on Butch, but I do understand where you're coming from, and I think as a fan base, like from the fan base perspective, I think fan bases tend to hit the panic button really, really fast. Sometimes it's deserved, but This Chula Bowl is going to be big. I mean, it's going to mean more for FAU. I mean, for FIU, it's going to be, we're going to be fighting for our lives, fighting for our, you know, bowl spot. It's just going to see what game plan can Butch come up with, because what I've seen, and it's not even fully on Butch, because there's a full coaching staff, right? It's Butch can't take the full accountability when there's, you know, we have a DC and offense coordinator, quarterback's coach. Every position has a coach. I think all coaches have accountability, but you know, it's just I don't know how many I can take personally, but you know, I see your point of view. I guess I don't really have an answer, because I don't know. I want to see at least a win in preferably all three, but at least one big win of the last three gauntlet stretch that we have. But that's kind of what I have. I mean, I'm kind of down, you know. I'm in the down fan mood, but you know, it's just as Jake. Well, actually, I don't know if we're gonna even keep it, but Jake said earlier that the narratives change every week, and it just happens that we're in a bad state right now.
Yeah, I don't know if my full opinions on that will make the actual pod, but the short version is, if FIU won yesterday, we would be having a much different conversation. If FIU lost yesterday, we're recording this Sunday, but they lost by 10 and they played great run defense in the second half, we would still be having a conversation about how these losses wear on fans, but it wouldn't be, I don't think that there would be as many FIU fans hitting the panic button. And we saw with FAU earlier in the year. We saw with FAU last week after the Marshall game, where it was, how do we know that this team is even going to make a bowl game? Well, now FAU is 5-3, which we'll get to in a couple minutes, and they're right in the middle of the East Division race. So the narratives are always going to change. My advice for FIU fans, even though I'm not an FIU person, you still have a full month left. The Chula Bowl is in a couple weeks. Bowl eligibility is not off the table. Is this a disappointing season? Probably, because you're not going to play in the conference title game. Is it still a season where you can say, everything considered, there are some positives to take away, especially with a bowl game still on the line? 100%.
Well, I will say it is a disappointing season. I will say that as of right now, it is listed in my mind as a disappointing season, just because of all the expectation going in and just of what I've seen in our losses. But yeah, I there is still a month left of football. So let's see if something miraculous could happen and there's a huge turnaround. But right now I just don't see it.
David, if FIU wins three of their last four, let's say they win Old Dominion, FAU and Marshall, and they go 7-5 and they make a bowl game, do you still consider this a disappointing season? Everything considered, not having Morgan for all of the Western game.
That's kind of hard, but I would say yes and no, because it's both sides. I'll see both sides. Did we make a bowl game? once in a three straight bowl games, that young program like us should be proud of. And when the time comes, we will be proud. And it's all about hindsight. But in general, we wanted to be in the conference game, or at least be in contention for the conference championship. But it can go either way. I will be happy if we make the bowl game, just because, you know, three bowl games is nothing to laugh at. So,
Jake, can I answer that quick question, hypothetical really quickly? Yes,
100%.
It would still be a disappointment. Why? Because the same issue that's hampered this team over the past 18 months is hampering them this season. You can't. It's one thing if you lose the games and you lose by a field goal or a play here, a play there. Losing by giving up this kind of yardage is demoralizing, and it's the same thing's been happening since the start of last year.
Yeah, and this seems to be one of the first times that FIU is really getting a lot of recognition, at least down here in Miami. So it is disappointing in that aspect, especially, yeah, like Eric said, the way we've been losing is just, it's tough. It's tough to see. That's just, the word of the day is tough and rough. There are my two words of the day.
Well, speaking of tough and rough, I think Bobby Wilder, I think that's how he was feeling yesterday after FAU, after all of the drama of the past week, Lane Kiffin getting fined, Lance Thompson, the recruiting coordinator, it came out that he committed an NCAA violation. FAU, despite suffering a couple major injuries during the game, goes into Old Dominion, wins 41-3. FAU is right back in the middle of the Conference USA East Division race. They're one win away from bowl eligibility. And Shane, we were talking a little bit during the game. Did you see everything that you needed to see from FAU's defense?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Old Dominion's offense is atrocious. I mean, Bobby Wilder is, I think, you know, it's time to start talking, you know, who's a good replacement there. But, you know, obviously you have these games, and sometimes you come away even with the victory, even maybe by, a few touchdowns, and you still feel like you didn't get everything that you wanted, that there's been, after you pretty much played a flawless game, they even got, some backups in there. I guess the only negative was Chris got hurt, missed the second half, but some of the early news is that he was on the sidelines dressed, clapping his hands. So obviously it wasn't something serious where they had to come back and give him that x-ray. So at least the early signs is that, he'll be back, but you know, we'll probably find out more in the next couple of days here. But yeah, FAU's defensive line dominated, even with missing a couple of role players. FAU was able to run the ball despite just being down to, we're down to what, two healthy running backs. It's good to see Harrison Bryant get a touchdown. You know, they just went up there and got big plays versus a defense that actually been pretty good for Old Dominion. So, you know, if FAU plays like they did yesterday, they could beat Western Kentucky. Marshall did us no favors by hitting that 53-yard field goal. So, you know, they control their destiny. But, you know, Marshall still has to play Louisiana Tech late in the year. So, if FAU wins out, I think everything could fall in place and for them to win the East.
I think yesterday was the closest that we've gotten. And just with how volatile, take a drink because we just said volatile in Conference USA in the same sentence, but how volatile Conference USA is, this might be the most dominant we'll see FAU play a Conference USA game all season, you know, maybe next year. This was the 2017 team. This is what they did, and this is what FAU fans have been wanting to see. They came out, they made plays on the ground, the defense played very hard, couple hard hits, drove Messiah Dweaver into the ground, had a turnover to special teams, competent. Vladdy Rivas has been red hot lately. Since coming back in the bye, I don't think he's missed a single kick, which is great. FAU, in my mind, showed yesterday that they are starting to finally figure out who they are. We've been asking all year, what is this team's identity? Maybe the identity is they don't need an identity. They're not a team that is going to depend one way every game on throwing or throwing or running. They're not a team that is going to be a turnover-heavy machine or a team that is going to bend but don't break. They're a team that just finds ways to win games, and they take care of their business against mediocre teams.
Right, that they're not mediocre, but Old Dominion is bottom three in conference USA. But I kind of like your I like your point, Jake. That FBU seems to just go what's hot on offense, right? You know, Tronti came in, and you and I have talked about how good of a Tronti is running, but there's still some issues in the passing game. If you ever had to play a serious game, if Chris isn't healthy, I mean, that's probably a 7-point swing in the spread. Yes, that big, which is crazy. But you know, they came out the second half and they ran a completely different offense and was still able to score. You know, there was a couple of times in the game where I thought, you know, if you got a little cute with its play calling, but you know, other than that, it's also why I said all week, I wish FAU played Western Kentucky this week, because FAU's tend to do well after a tough loss. They bounce back. You know, we've talked about rebounding after tough losses. And, you know, since kind of the UCF game, which is probably FAU's most disappointing, just how they played overall, you know, FAU's 5-1. So
yeah, so you know, Shane, it's kind of piggyback off of you and Jake here. I'm not going to spend too much time recapping the Old Dominion game. I think you guys have done a good job there. You're not going to learn much about a win over ODU. Bobby Wilder's talked about being the coach of the best 1-5 and 1-6 team in America. Well, he's now the coach of the best 1-7 team in America, for whatever that's worth. here's the thing that I'm looking forward to. It's Western Kentucky, right? So we need to figure out, as I'm still in Nashville National Airport, you know, still struggling from the FIU loss. Thank you for Mr. Price over my head. Then I'm looking forward for FAU is this, you know. I look forward to FAU is this. We'll call this one technical difficulties, right? Then I'm looking forward to the house is this. Against Western Kentucky, I'm posing to both Jake and Shane. What did you guys see from Western, what you guys were able to see of that game from Western and Marshall last night, that gives you guys confidence that FAU can win? This is what I saw from that game, because I just caught most of the highlights and watched a little bit of the replay on the way to the airport. D'Angelo Malone managed to be taken out of the game, and no one's been able to do that for the duration of this year. If you can keep whoever is quarterback, whether it's Chris Robinson or Nick Tronti, upright, I think FAU has a really good chance to win. I know you can say that every week, but especially with Western, the crux of this team isn't, you know, Ty's story, you know, threw for 300-something yards last night, but that's just not him. You know, Western isn't built to throw the ball 40 times. It's going to be built, if Western's going to win, it's going to be Gage Walker taking 25, 30 carries for a buck 20, playing good defense and winning on special teams. I think FAU...
I saw Western kind of do the inverse of what FAU does when FAU struggles, which is sure. Western started slow, and then they clawed back and made it a game. And FAU, when they struggle, especially last year, and even with the Marshall game, they start quick, then they struggle, and then by the time that they claw back, it's usually too late, unless you get that last-second chance. Western got the last-second chance, and what a kick by the Marshall kicker, 53 yards. And again, that's one of those things, you know, if that goes to overtime, completely different game. But, you know, the result is, and this isn't a hypothetical, the outcome is that Western lost. And if FAU can do what Marshall did, which is start quick, keep Western quiet, you know, get off to a big lead, and if FAU's defense plays the way they did yesterday, or at least shows the same intensity, impose their will, which is a statement that Lane Kiffin used, that Layden McCarthy used, break Western's will, FAU can easily walk out of Bowling Green to win.
So, Shane, can I ask you a specific question before you go? Because I just want to ask you about Western. If this game is 14-14 or a 3-point game, you know, whatever margin you want to say it, but a one-score game going to the third quarter and Western's playing their type of ball game, which is, you know, being physical, running the ball, and let's say D'Angelo Malone and Juwan Jones have a couple sacks, can FAU pull that out, right? Or does it need to be a game where FAU completely, you know, takes the Western defense out of it and, you know, just wins in that regard?
Eric, it's going to have to come down to
turnovers for FAU and big plays on defense. We're not as physical as Marshall. We're not going to be able to just push them around and take their pass rush out of the game. So, you know, FAU depends on big plays on both sides. We're not going to have to grind it out. Western Kentucky did turn it over three times yesterday. FAU needs that same number if they want to win at Western Kentucky. But they can win a low-scoring physical game. Just for the simple fact that it only does take a couple of plays for FAU to get big scores. So FAU's offense is one of those things. They really only need four plays to put up 28 points.
So Shane, okay, so you make those points, and that's something that I'm really curious of, because we know what FAU, they have a game, right? You know, Chris Robinson can put up big numbers. They can score in bunches. And Shane, I think the last point you made was one that I was hinting at, right? That FAU essentially can score, and, you know, they have big play potential. You know, four plays can equal 28 points. For Western, we know that's just not their game plan, right? Expect to see a lot of 7, 8, 9, 10 play drives for them to score and put points on the board. So, Jake, just really quick, same question to you. You know, if Western plays their type of game, that physical, you know, wear you down type of game, where it's going to be, you know, 12-round kind of, you know, punch for punch type of game, do you see a route that FAU can win that, or do they have to win more in their style of play?
I feel a little bit more confident that FAU could win that type of game only because they have so much more depth this year than last year. I mean, they were able to play so many guys yesterday. I think that they played almost everybody who traveled, which is nuts. So, you know, we're seeing more of James Brunson at receiver, for example. So he can come in and fill in for Pico Harrison or John Mitchell. We saw Willie Wright finally score again yesterday. He could play some slot, some guys on defense, whether it's on the line or at linebacker in the secondary. So I think FAU, if they need to adapt and play longer drives, it might be challenging to some of the players just because they're so used to playing those, hey, fast, move fast, score quick. We don't want to be on the field too long. But if Western plays the way that they do and FAU needs to adjust, I think FAU is capable of doing it.
Eric, I just do want to say that those long scoring drives favor FAU. FAU's defense issues this year have come off teams that get chunk plays, and it's kind of the design. We've talked about it before. So, you know, FAU's going to be like, okay, go 10 plays for us versus us. We're banking on one of those 10 plays. If you have to go 10 plays every drive, we're going to get a sack and force a second along. We're going to get a pick. You know, it's hard to chip away at FAU's defense because they're eventually just say, hey, out of every 10 plays, we're going to make one big one and stop you. FAU's third down defense is one of the best in the conference, and it's number two. So they know how to get off the field when it's kind of needed.
No, Shane, I'll piggyback off of that point really quick, and I'll make another one. I think that could, like, weirdly enough, it could play in FAU's favor in the sense that this is a team that forced a lot of turnovers. You know, the defense hasn't exactly been, you know, great this year, but it hasn't been bad. You know, it's been an adjustment under first-year defensive coordinator Glenn Spencer. They're taking their lumps, but they've also made a lot of plays. And, Jake, defense has forced a lot of turnovers. So I also think that if you have those kind of drives where it's 8, 9, 10 plays, eventually you're going to force one. Is that not a fair assumption?
Yeah, no, I think it's definitely a fair assumption. I think the main thing with FAU's defense, it's two things. It's getting turnovers, and it's making sure that you can rotate guys in. Because if you can't play somebody like Kiki Leroy every play of an 11-play drive, you have somebody that you could put in for one play. You can't keep Ray Ellis on the field for all of those plays. And that's a real benefit of the ODU game, is some of these guys, whether they're scholarship guys who might have been buried or walk-ons, they got a chance to come in and make some plays when ODU was still running the ones. So I'm not going to sit here and say that Western's first-team offense is on the same level as ODU's first-team offense. I'm not. Bigger point is you're giving guys who are a little inexperienced meaningful game action on the road when these games matter. You're not doing it against Ohio State. So I think that's important. And if you can rotate those guys in and you can keep your main guys, your Keegan Leroy's, your Rashad Smith's, your Tim Bonner's, healthy and ready to go by the time the fourth quarter hits, FAU's defense should be fine.
And I've just got one last question for you guys. You know, we talked about FIU and their struggles, you know, a game that you think they're going to win, they end up losing. Now let's flip it to the FAU side for a second. I'll let Shane take this first. Should FAU lose and they fall to 5-4, it's a log jam in the East Division. We know, you know, no one's really out of it yet. But should FAU lose, what's the POV from there?
It's going to be a little disappointing. And again, then it just comes down to how they finish. If FAU loses, then I think winning out would be kind of be the expectation. I think people have such a high expectation for the offense that if they go out there and they lose, 20-24, people are going to be really upset. I mean, this is a game they should. I think this is kind of a coin flip game. We were talking about last night what the spread is going to be. I mean, so this game's all about matchups. But if FAU loses, it's going to be a really angry fan base. They should. Let's be honest. They're more talented than Western Kentucky. But Marshall was too, and they needed a 53-yard field goal at home to beat them. We'll see. I mean, FAU's offensive line isn't as good as Marshall's. So if FAU could figure out a way through play calling to slow down that pass rush, if they can't, that game could be really bad.
All right, guys. We've all made our points about the games. We're looking forward to the games upcoming this week. Big one for FAU, big one for FIU as well, because they need to rebound and, put some sort of hope for this FIU fan base. But, if you're an FAU fan, I'm sure everyone will have their eyes glued to a chance to, compete for a Conference USA East title and a big one up there in Bowling Green. Thank you for listening to the podcast. You can find us at 5 Reasons Sports. Please come back and listen to us next week. You can find us anywhere on Podbean, iTunes, and Spotify. And thanks for listening, guys.